Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot to discuss, a lot to catch you up on as well. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. You know, we've been sifting through a lot of the updates, a lot of the headlines, a lot going on all around the country. Specifically, though, with our Department of Justice, apparently the DOJ, well, they're handing off more evidence of crimes to Congress. You heard that right. The FBI also part of that as well. It's kind of insane considering the fact that they are the top prosecutors in the country. And for some reason, all they keep doing is shuffling things over to Congress as if they don't have the authority to go out there and charge the individuals with crimes. All of these evil, evil people who we've been talking about for literally a decade now, for some reason, Pam Bondi just hasn't really moved on any of this. And she continues to shuffle everything over to Congress as if they are running the DOJ right now. The very latest on that we'll bring you in just a little bit, but it has to do with the Mar-a-Lago raid on President Trump's home, obviously. We've learned more in regards to just that. We'll also give you an update regarding the Brown University shooting. Still no shooter. The FBI, local police, releasing more grainy video footage of the perp, asking for the public's help while not really giving you much in the way of information. Now, according to the witnesses that were in the classroom during the shooting, the shooter actually yelled out something. But unfortunately, police won't tell you what he yelled out. But Laura Loomer's on it. And she's got her sources telling her specifically what she believes that was yelled out. Again, police being grilled for almost 2 minutes yesterday about what was said in that classroom before the shooter opened fire. And for some reason, PD won't tell you why. Well, we could all have our little conspiracies as to why they are refusing to do just that. But still, keep in mind, we don't have a suspect. And they are still on the run. For some reason, both the police and the FBI continue to fail in the Brown University shooting. And I'll give you the latest on that. Plus, obviously, folks, we've all seen the details regarding the shooting in Australia. Those two Islamic terrorists opening fire on the first night of Hanukkah as Jews were just enjoying their vacation on the beach, Bondi Beach specifically. Well, we're learning more and more and how the Australian government failed to keep its people safe. Of course, like usual, these suspects were on their radar. And instead of acting, well, they just sat back. But don't worry, folks. You know what's going to save you? More gun control. More gun control. Because the two Islamic shooters apparently obtained their firearms, one of them at least did, legally. And so now what they're doing is they're trying to crunch down on the 6% of Australians that legally own their guns. It's going to become a destination now for Islamic terrorists, knowing that their people are unarmed and they're cowardly. Police officers refuse to open fire, exchange fire at least, on these two perps for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Also, it's worth noting Australian police apparently shot the one person who had the cojones. Actually, there was two or three, sadly, but the one person who was able to successfully tackle the individual who was shooting, well, police shot him. So hand over your firearms and allow the police to protect you, the police who aren't capable of protecting you. Female police officers, of course, too, worth noting. They were all women who just stood behind cars and sat back and watched what was going on and unraveling before their very own eyes. Cowards, I tell you, cowards, absolute cowards. We're also going to be giving you updates in regards to Rob Reiner's murder. As many of you guys know, we high strongly condemned what President Trump said yesterday on Truth Social. Of course, he didn't tone it down. He also gave a soundbite, which I thought was absolutely egregious. But we're learning more about his murder. And now his son, his own son, has been arrested and is being held on $4 million bond. The son, just struggling with addiction, apparently slashing his parents in the throat. No one deserves to die that way. Absolutely no one. So folks, I'm going to be giving you an update on a lot of stories. Plus, we have an incredible lineup of guests joining us in just a little bit. So buckle up. We got 3 hours up ahead and a lot more to discuss. In the meantime, though, Bigley's working overtime to get you your Christmas gifts in time. So today, if you want to order something over at thealexjonesstore.com, today is the final day to get it by Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot going on over here. We're going to catch you up on all the most important stories happening all across the country. So welcome to the show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. Got a lot going on, a lot to catch you up on, a lot of incredible guests joining us today. Larry Taunton is going to be joining the show later in the segment because, folks, we got a lot to catch up on with him. He is someone who has actively traveled throughout the Middle East, reported on all of the atrocities committed by those who claim to be followers of Islam. So it'll be good to have him on the show today to get his reaction to both Syria and what we saw unravel in Australia and here in the homeland. So we look forward to having him on the show. Also, we're going to be joined by Ken Silva in just a little bit. Ken has been following that left-wing terror attack that was supposed to take place on New Year's Eve. The FBI claiming they have just prevented that from happening. We'll bring you the latest because they did show footage yesterday and it was quite compelling. So Ken Silva has been reading through the criminal complaints. He will be joining us to break down the very latest on that front. Plus more, because I'm hearing that Dan Bongino is potentially going to be stepping down as deputy director over at the FBI. That also being reported by Fox News. He is pondering that idea. So I'll bring you the latest on that front in just a bit. I want to get to this story in regards to Brown University because, folks, we keep talking about this, and I think this is really one of the most important topics right now. Unfortunately, both the FBI and local PD have been unable to capture the individual who's responsible for committing a heinous terror attack on students over at Brown University. And when you ask questions specifically about who the suspect is, you get nothing. You get grainy footage, grainy images, as if Brown University isn't one of the most elite colleges in this country and is unable to afford some type of better security cameras on campus. You're telling me that this is the best we have? You can't give us anything else? I mean, that could be a man, a woman, a tranny, who knows? But we're still looking for the perp, and unfortunately, law enforcement is not trying to actually catch the person, because if they were, they'd be honest with you. They tell you things about the suspect. Things like, what did this individual scream out in that classroom before murdering two individuals and wounding a bunch of others? Well, unfortunately, they are refusing to tell you. Take a listen to clip one of what happened when they were grilled on that by local journalists.
And called into police. I mean, the reality is that this is a seven-story physics and engineering building that was unlocked, but this individual went to a specific classroom that was essentially in a study session for an exam on economics and chose that classroom. And we know from a witness inside that this gunman yelled something. We don't know what this individual yelled and then began shooting. We also know that this person reportedly used a handgun. So a lot of questions also as to whether or not they recovered that handgun or what kind of ballistics evidence may have led them perhaps to this individual as well. So we have more questions than answers, yeah. Other than the fact that we know the lockdown has been lifted and at least according to the mayor, this community can breathe a sigh of relief. But hopefully we hope to find out more in the coming hours.
All right. So that was the earlier report in regards to that individual yelling something out. That's what we learned just hours after that attack. Now, listen to how police react when they're just simply asked, what did the shooter yell out? Take a listen to clip two.
Now, there's a report the shooter yelled something right before he shot came in. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah, it's part of the investigation, John, and we'll, yeah.
Now, the only I ask that, though, is, for instance, like with the Unabomber, his brother recognized the writing. So it's possible a friend or family member might recognize if the person said something that was significant.
Correct.
That's why you don't, other than the 9mm, is there anything else inside that auditorium that you could tell us?
No, that's correct. And listen, like I said earlier, investigations will bring us to evidence that we need to collect in order to be able to prosecute.
With that being said,
we're going to continue to collect evidence, and if it leads us to something to that nature that's going to be extremely helpful for us to identify somebody, we'll be the first ones to put it out.
Alex,
follow up on John's question. Did the suspect yell, like has been reported, and there's been some erroneous reporting, but did he yell when he came in the classroom? And how valuable have witness statements been from those who survived?
Listen, my heart goes out to the victims. It goes out to the families. And I'll tell you that their cooperation has been extremely helpful. And that, with that being said, we'll continue. And I'm going to respect the fact that, and I hope that they get better, and my heart and soul goes out to them. So,
did he yell them?
That's something that we're investigating. We took statements, and we have to confirm that.
We're going to wrap it up here.
Group of cowards. The suspect is on the run. Why won't they tell you what he yelled out? They clearly know. They're not saying that they don't know what he yelled at before opening fire on these individuals, these victims. But for some reason, they won't tell you. Well, Laura Loomer is on the case, and apparently, according to her reports, she is suggesting that this individual yelled out Allah Akbar prior to opening fire. So why won't they tell you that? Wouldn't that also contribute to motive? Wouldn't you want the people in this country to know that? Well, if it's true, then gosh, local PD and the FBI are both covering up for a suspect because, well, he's Muslim. But again, they won't confirm that. We must rely on individuals to leak information to journalists and hope that it's accurate enough and tell the people ourselves. Folks, this case has been absolutely egregiously handled from local PD to the FBI and on and on. The FBI is saying, oh, we're going to give you a $50,000 reward if you could help us out. And then they put out crappy images of the suspect. The VP of the Republican Party over in Brown University was targeted, it appears, potentially. Sadly, she lost her life. And obviously another student as well. And they continue to say that it was an economics class. But again, why aren't we being given information? You're telling me Ring doorbell cameras are the best we have available? They don't have anything at the university to show us? You have no door footage? How'd the guy get in? This is all intentional. We all know this is. These people intentionally fail the public all the time. Whether it's they're trying to scrub social media, trying to rewrite the narrative, we never know. And you cannot trust the government. We can't trust the government because this is the type of crap they pull. They know who this person is. There's no way they don't understand who this individual is. There's no way. It's 2025. We have biometric systems. We could run photos through, videos through, everything through to find out who these people are. You're telling me the Ring doorbell footage of this individual walking around residential neighborhoods is all you have? You have nothing from the university? He strolled into a classroom and opened fire on students. Where the hell is local PD? Trying to cover up, not telling us what this person screamed out before opening fire, not denying those claims, not saying, we honestly don't know. Saying that we're going to hold it back until we think maybe it will help us solve our case. And then local PD has several times now blamed the FBI for failing multiple times to take in the leads and to handle them appropriately. We know that. Ken Silva will be on a little bit of detail just that. But the reality of it is we have someone on the loose right now who just committed a horrific attack on Brown University students, and no one gives a damn. Instead, they'd rather be politically correct. If Laura Loomer's report checks out and it's factually true, we've got a major issue on our hands, folks. Major issue on our hands. These colleges, these universities, we've known for a while now that they've gone woke. But this FBI, remember when Dan Bongino tells you the new guard at the FBI? Well, where the hell is the information? You have every right to ask. And since we're just on the topic of the FBI and the endless failures there, let's turn to another story. This coming from Just the News, which is obviously a direct pipeline from the FBI these days. Take a look at this report. I shared the details regarding it. Apparently, Pam Bondi over at the AG's office, obviously the AG, and Director Cash Patel have uncovered more bombshell evidence that crimes were committed by the previous regime. And what are they doing about it, folks? Drum roll. They're giving it to Congress. The top prosecutor in our country is just going to hand it over to Congress. According to the DOJ, I'm just going to go with what I used to call all the time, the Department of Injustice at this point. That's what I used to refer to under the Biden regime, but you might as well just go with it now because nothing's changed, apparently. Apparently, the Attorney General and both Director Cash Patel have found really important emails that they're going to hand over to Congress today, according to this report. These emails reportedly show that the FBI apparently told the Biden-era Justice Department there wasn't enough probable cause to raid President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home back in 2022. But they raided it anyway. Now, you'd expect all of those individuals to possibly be going through disbarment processing, the DOJ referring them to be disbarred, the DOJ looking at the criminal charges. We have more evidence. Look at this. Crimes committed. We're just going to hand it off to Congress, though. Good luck. Good luck. Let Congress deal with it. Every time they find something new, you know what they do? They just hand it off to Congress. What are they waiting for? What the heck are they waiting for? Maybe you think it's going to pull badly if you file charges before the midterms. But the American people have zero motive to go out and vote for your party again and again and again. Midterms will completely be a landslide for Dems because you guys have zero cojones to do anything. Anything. We ask for the basics. And what do we get? We get more evidence of crimes committed, but zero action on behalf of the DOJ and the FBI. They continue to show you the injustice that took place, the crimes that were committed. And nothing is happening. Oh, yeah, just trust the system. They're working on it. Grand jury's popping up, but we can't talk about anything. No, when there is a grand jury that pops up, we see that they're unable to land an indictment. Time and time again. Sloppy work over at the DOJ, not helping people like Holligan over in Virginia. Lindsay Holligan, who really tried her best, was thrown into this last minute. I have zero to blame on her. Every person internally telling me that she had zero backup over from the top people over at the DOJ. They threw her into this mess, hoping for the best. And by hoping for the best, I mean just giving her literally zero to work with. So I have zero to blame on her. Everything's at the top of the DOJ right now. When you ask for comments or when I talk to these people, every time they always say, okay, all of this is off the record. I'm told that my sources, when I confront these people, you got good sources. Yeah, my sources are fed up. They didn't go back to working into the government to just sit here and allow all of these criminals to be let off the hook. My sources are fed up. They are fed up. Just like the American people. It is absolutely embarrassing to sit here every single day and tell you about all the crimes that have been committed by the Biden regime, the Obama regime. And the follow-up, you got nothing. We have to wait for these leaks, the top people over at the FBI, turning to Just the News to tell us what's going on. It's absolutely egregious what's happening again and again. I'm just so fed up with talking about this. And then there were reports, what we'll talk about in a little bit also with Ken Silva a bit, but that Dan Bongino is possibly considering stepping down as deputy director. Why? Well, obviously, folks, if this is true, and this is reporting coming from Fox News, and I've heard for quite some time he's been very frustrated behind the scenes, how are you going to take Dan Bongino, somebody who was obviously a high, very credible podcaster, Fox News contributor as well, throw him into this. He thinks he's going in here to fight the deep state. And then for the most part, you have his hands tied behind his back. You have PR nightmare after PR nightmare after PR nightmare. And you expect him just to keep his face up there and smile and pretend like something's actually happening behind the scenes. It's probably exhausting. Dan was a very wealthy man before taking on this position. He had a very popular podcast, obviously one of the top podcasters in the conservative movement. And he took on this fight not because he wanted to work for the FBI, but because, well, he thought probably there was going to be some legitimate changes. And I spoke to him before he took on this role, congratulated him, and wished him nothing but the best. But there's something going on behind the scenes. Because, folks, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. I'm not going to sit here and show you report after report and tell you, ooh, look, more corruption, more crimes. And then we just sit here and pretend like something's going to happen. Nothing's happening right now. And although they'll be like, oh, Brianna, you obviously don't understand. I think we saw like Megyn Kelly, a clip of Megyn Kelly saying, oh, they're not going to talk about things. That would be inappropriate. Are you kidding me? They leak things every day. And by leak, I mean hand things off to friendly media outlets. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? When you look at the polling from Rasmussen reports repeatedly over at the FBI, I mean, people do not like this new FBI. And the internal report that came out, thanks to Miranda Devine for publishing, the people internally are telling you that there is a lack of professionalism going on right now at the FBI. I mean, how many more glaring signs do you need to see that there are a lot of issues going on right now at the FBI? And they don't like all the fake news reporting. I think that's what they refer to it as. Because people who are pissed off behind the scenes, who didn't join the government again to just sit back and allow everything just to continue on, are giving us bits and pieces of information. And they don't like that. Oh, look, we're catching predators. Well, listen, if you were legitimately catching child predators, which I know they love to talk about, they love to promote, I would be 100% on board for that as well. But the reality of it is this FBI likes to take a lot of credit for local PD work because they step in last minute to help make those arrests to help boost their reputation. So when they sit there and they tell you about the thousands of pedophiles that have been arrested, understand something. A lot of that dirty work was happening at the local levels, not the federal level. They just step in last minute for the good PR spin. Now, they are doing good things, though. We'll talk about 764 for a second. It's very important that we have an administration that takes that threat very, very seriously. Obviously, as many of you guys know, BX did an incredible job at reporting on it. And it looks like the FBI is finally taking that threat seriously. Making several arrests, key arrests, which is good. Because we have to protect kids. But the reality of it, there's nothing else really being done. Nothing else really being done. And we're going to sit here and pretend like everything's okay. You know, yesterday, we'll talk about it at length with Ken Silva again, but they announced the arrest of left-wing terrorist, alleged. Great news. But what else are we doing, guys? The top people, are we going to, the deep state I'm referring to, are we going to do something about that? Nothing? Why? Is everyone afraid? No, instead, we can't do hard-hitting interviews. We have to go to those that are the friendlies because they don't ask good questions. Let's be blunt. They'll ask a decent question, a mediocre question, then there's zero follow-up because on the topic itself, they don't understand what's actually happening. And it's just so infuriating because nobody voted for this. Nobody voted for this. Now, we sat here, we endorsed people like Director Patel to take on these positions. AG Pam Bondi, I mean, I didn't really endorse her, but here we are. And nothing's being done. Nothing's being done. They just keep telling you to wait, stand by. Something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen soon. But we have no idea what's actually happening. Why? Well, they tell you it's an ongoing investigation. We can't talk about it. Like cowards. That's what cowards do. No, the American people should know about these things. To sit here and continuously say that they can't share information with us because these investigations are ongoing is cowardly. They have no problem leaking information that makes them look good. of ongoing investigations, of course, is that they're handing off the story like we see today over at Just the News because there's actually nothing going to happen on the other end of this. Is that not an ongoing investigation regarding the Mar-a-Lago raid? The emails are going to be handed over to Congress. You guys reported that through Just the News. Is that not an ongoing investigation? Is that the safe one that they can leak out? You see, when it's things that make them look good, they have no problem at putting it out there. But when it's really just hard-hitting questions that we have, like, does Thomas Crooks, did he have social media accounts? Are these social media posts, if you're talking Carlson, who's just trying to, are these social media posts belonging to Thomas Crooks? Oh, how do you know those are authentic? I mean, that's literally what the FBI told him when he tried to vet a story before releasing it publicly because the FBI was pissed off that he was going to drop that information. These people just sit there all day, scroll on X because they want to make sure that conservative podcasters aren't saying anything mean to hurt their feelings rather than doing the job that they're supposed to do. How do we know that? Well, unfortunately, when the report did come out from Miranda Devine regarding just that, that those internally at the FBI feel like they spend way too much time, those at the top of the agency, scrolling through social media, their answer was to go on social media and call Miranda Devine's reporting deep state divine and then go attack Miranda personally as if she's not been an incredible patriot who's been truthful on all subject matters, regardless of who's occupying the White House. So time and time again, we continue to see this, and the FBI just continues to pretend like we have to just so blindly support whatever they say. Ongoing investigations. We've got it. Sit back and watch. Sit back and watch. Something big happening soon. This isn't a novella. This is the future of this country, and you have every damn right to ask the most simple questions. Like, at what point do we start seeing the people that were on a mission to destroy this country over the last decade pay by being prosecuted? The guy who literally wrote an entire book on government gangsters seems to be frozen. The DOJ, who's being occupied by AG Pambani right now, she is the one who is leading the agency, the department itself. We don't see much on her front. Again, she got confirmed pretty quickly, had me scratching my head. Support of red flag laws in Florida. Not just that, she's also accused of being one to comply with the fake witness being put on the stand during the Trayvon Martin hearings, the trials, as many of you guys know. Those are accusations she faces as well. Well, she just walked right into this position, no pushback. And then obviously the second in command over at the Department of Justice, being a registered Democrat until a couple of weeks ago. What the f*** are we doing? It's a serious question that needs to be asked. Serious question that needs to be asked. We're going to talk more about that in just a bit with Ken Silva. He's joining the show in about 5 minutes. We will also be discussing the latest in Australia, because obviously when an Islamic terrorist attack happens, if you are a globalist, you would actually go after the firearms rather than the individuals coming into your country and destroying it. And that's what's going on right now in Australia. So we'll give you the very latest on that front in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it's the final day to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Bigley is working overtime to make sure that they get the Christmas gifts out for all of you who order right now over the Alex Jones Store. And select items are 60% off for the time being. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. More on the way.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night. And they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing. To help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system. And it's a really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body. And that includes pumping stomach acid. It includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell, but that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. I'm trying to cool off after that one because, folks, I'm really triggered by our FBI DOJ these days. They're doing absolutely nothing. We're going to get into that in a little bit with Ken Silva in just a moment. But first, I wanted to let you know that the jobs report just came in and just wanted to break down the data for you. When it comes to that, it looks like, a little good news, the non-farm payrolls rose. It was expected to be around 50,000 for November, but it reached about 64,000. The U.S. lost about 105,000 jobs, it looks like, back in October, which is down from 119,000 jobs that were lost in September. And the unemployment rate did raise, it's rising a little bit. It's about 4.6% last month compared to 4.5% in September of 2021. So again, I mean, that's the numbers trickling down from the jobs report. So I want to make sure we brought you the very latest on that front as well. All right, let's kick things off by talking about the FBI. We'll give them a little bit of credit when credit's due. It looks like they possibly prevented a left-wing terrorist attack that was supposed to take place on New Year's Eve, it looks like. The FBI alleging that these four, look at those eyes. Man, oh man. Sobriety. Probably? No? Maybe not. Who knows? But these four are facing allegations that they were looking to carry out a terrorist attack in Los Angeles, across Los Angeles. They were looking to drop explosives throughout the city. And apparently, according to the FBI, the group is called Turtle Island Liberation Front. And they were looking to possibly set off a bunch of explosives all around the city. Joining me to discuss is the editor over at Headline USA, Ken Silva. He's read through the criminal complaints. He's gone through all the evidence that they've presented thus far. And he joins me to break it all down. He's a great follow. Also on X, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow at JD_cashless. Make sure you do that now as well. Ken, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on. All right. So we were covering it yesterday when the press conference was happening. And I told our audience to hold back. Don't jump on anything yet. Because we know that the FBI has a habit of, let's just say, leading people to carry out potential plots. And then they, you know, say, oh, look at us. We caught these people. But there's a bulk of these individuals who are usually being paid by the agency itself. So I told everyone to hold off and wait. So far, from what you've seen in the criminal complaint and that press conference that was held yesterday, what are we learning?
Yeah, I know, Brianna, you want to give FBI credits where it's due, but I do have a lot of questions about this case. Whether or not the four defendants are like commie freaks that would hate you and me, I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But whether this was a legitimate terrorist plot is a whole nother question. And, you know, reading through the criminal complaint, I've got a lot of questions about that. I mean, it basically says that one of the defendants gave an FBI informant an 8-page bombing plan in late November. They had another meeting on December 7th, a meeting in which the FBI informant and an undercover agent were also present with the four defendants. And then they go out to the desert on December 12th to construct these explosives and do kind of a test run. And that's when the bust was made. So, you know, right off the bat, there's questions about why was this FBI informant involved with the group in the first place? What was the criminal predicate? The complaint says this informant has been working for the Fed since 2021 as a paid informant, not a criminal that they flipped. You know, there's questions why the undercover FBI agent was involved too. You know, even with like the Whitmer Fed napping plot, you know, that indictment reads that some FBI informant was on Facebook and saw, you know, violent rhetoric by the militias in early 2020, and that's how he became involved. We know now that that's a BS story, but at least they tried to give us a story. Here, you know, we don't have any information. And then there's a question about the sophistication and whether these defendants would be able to pull off this plot by themselves in the first place. We don't know who drafted this 8-page bombing plan. And, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this FBI busting and an ISIS plot to commit mass shootings on Halloween. And that actually looked more legitimate to me, you know, a more legitimate reason for the FBI to intervene, because, of course, any person could just grab a rifle and go commit a mass shooting. But here, there's a level of sophistication that's needed that doesn't seem to be present. I mean, I'm quoting straight from the criminal complaint here. At one point on December 11th, one of the defendants says, "After further research, I retract my earlier statement of specializing in electrical work. I have the basics down, but building circuits is beyond me, and the circuits would be needed for the digital timer." So it doesn't seem like these defendants, you know, would have been able to construct bombs that would have been able to do any kind of damage, which they're alleged to do. They're alleged to have been planning to carry it out on New Year's Day. So, you know, we need more information about this. And I guess the last thing I'll say about this LA field office is we had, you know, one of the sketchiest cases I've seen in quite a while happened in May, where a suspect bombed a fertility clinic and died in that attack. And then the person who sold him explosives was arrested and supposedly committed suicide in prison. And the suspect's girlfriend also committed suicide. And then we had a press conference with the same FBI official involved in this case getting asked a question about the FBI actually monitoring the suspect's home the week before the attack. And he says, "Oh, I can't comment on that." And the press conference was immediately shut down. So I'm not saying these two cases are related, but this field office does have kind of a track record in these kind of sketchy operations, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's key to highlight just that, because again, folks, we need to know this. I mean, the fact that I watched your clip that you posted on your X page, Ken, and I, again, remind our audience to go give you a follow because you're the first one to put these things up. And these things are really important for everyone to hear. I mean, I listened, and literally, as soon as a reporter asks, he says, "I cannot confirm." And then quickly they sweep it and push them all out of the room. So again, this is why so many people do not trust this federal agency, because you see things like that and you go, "Why can't you just answer a simple question? It has no real reasoning to not be answered unless you don't want to highlight your own failures or why you intentionally just didn't make a move at the time." I mean, you could have obviously prevented that possibly from taking place, and maybe that's the reason why they do that. But I also want to highlight this because, you know, yesterday we were trying to buckle down and wait for them to show the footage in regards to that test run that they said was carried out in the desert. And the FBI took their time with doing that. But we finally have the playback from that. So I want to play clip 11 and how they detail that dry run that they were talking about. Take a look.
A group of individuals, again, members of this anti-government group, traveled out to the desert to test their explosive devices. They had precursor chemicals there, and they were going to create these bombs in the desert. What they are starting to do is put their chemicals and wares and the components out on the table there. This footage that you're watching is from our surveillance plane, and then what happened after this is the Los Angeles FBI SWAT team, along with the FBI's hostage rescue team, moved in and arrested all four subjects without incident.
All right, Ken, I don't consider myself to be a genius, but if there's a airplane hovering over me or a drone hovering over me while I'm about to start testing explosives, I probably wouldn't do what I'm about to do. But they're claiming that this was shot from the airplane. And then it sounds like, and you could confirm it for me because you read through the criminal complaint, it sounds like immediately after were they arrested, or was this shortly after, a couple of days after? Like, how did this all go down?
They were arrested at the site. And in that footage, you see six people. Four of them were arrested. The other two were the undercover informant and the undercover agent. So I got to imagine the plane was pretty high up there. They probably didn't notice. Maybe they just thought it was a commercial airliner. But this goes to further underscore, you know, the lack of preparation. I mean, it seems like they hadn't even constructed a viable device before they were arrested. So again, I'm wondering, you know, the level of sophistication of these people. And I want to actually go further into the notion of this supposed 8-page bombing plan that we don't know who drafted or where it even came from. And that kind of reminds me of the January 6th Proud Boys sedition case, where that largely hinged on a document called the 1776 Returns Manifesto. And it turned out that somehow got in the Proud Boys chat group, but it was like a document for overthrowing the government. But it turned out that it was drafted by a self-described Israeli intelligence asset, and it was put on Google Drive, and it just somehow ended up in their chat room. So again, I wouldn't take the FBI's word for it that this was actually drafted and devised by the defendants arrested in this case.
Yeah, and I remember actually speaking with the individual who said that it was sent to her, and she just sent it around in that Proud Boys chat, and it sounded like it was intentionally planted or given to her. Somebody who didn't really know what she was doing with it just thought that she was going to forward it over because she thought it was important for the other guys to see. And then that was used against them. And it was something that really, yeah, really bothered her because she wasn't a willing participant in that. So, yeah, I remember that vividly. Ken, I want to turn to something else that just broke earlier this morning. It looks like Just the News, which they always get the exclusives. I joke and say it's a pipeline for the FBI these days to put out things without actually putting out things. And so they've sent this one over. And this one, though, it looks like we're about to get some new bombshell news from both the DOJ and the FBI in regards to the old guard not having enough probable cause to raid President Trump's home, Mar-a-Lago, back in 2022. Now, according to the report, these internal emails, which apparently are the FBI telling the DOJ there's not enough here, and the DOJ obviously is still just carrying out that search on Mar-a-Lago, these emails are now being handed off to Congress. Ken, I started the show off by screaming about how annoyed I am that we're continuously handing things off to Congress as a top prosecutor in the country, that literally the highest, they continue to give things over to Congress rather than show us any evidence that they're going to be charging the people behind all of this. What do you make of the latest report?
Yeah, this just seems par for the course as far as Kash Patel's modus operandi. I mean, what day are we on? You usually tweet almost every day, 300 some odd, without a single Biden or Obama administration official being arrested. So it seems like, yeah, Kash Patel gives just the news, a lot of these juicy documents showing that, you know, Russiagate had no criminal predicate. The Mar-a-Lago case was cooked up. Yeah, par for the course. I mean, let's remember that maybe Trump violated the letter of the law when it came to the classified information case. But of course, you know, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. It's very easy for the FBI to cook up these cases. And when they're politically motivated, of course, they're going to go for it. Let's not forget that, you know, Joe Biden was also mishandling classified documents, and Special Prosecutor Robert Hurd declined to prosecute him on the basis that he was kind of a doddering old man and he doesn't think he could get a conviction. And of course, I want to mention that the judge who signed off on this search warrant, the raid that apparently FBI agents had concerns about, according to Just the News, that's the judge who used to be business partners with Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. He had been working in the DOJ's Southern Florida office that was investigating an Epstein in 2007. And then he forms a law firm in the same office that Epstein would eventually serve his community, you know, his work release on. And he eventually ended up being Epstein's lawyer. So that's Bruce Reinhart. The case is dirty as hell, but, you know, let's see some arrests.
Yeah. And we're literally asking for the bare minimum. I mean, the charges that they did file, or did try to file, didn't land when it comes to like Tish James or, you know, James Comey, who we keep hearing updates on, all these missteps. But the key players in all of this, they just seem to look the other way on and just continue to show it. Like, it's like a shiny little toy, like, oh, look at what other crimes we found. And then they just shift it off to Congress as if Congress has the power to prosecute these people. It's absurd, but it's what's going on right now over at the DOJ. And, you know, we're hearing reports, Fox News actually reporting, I probably should get to this point too, since it's related, that Dan Bongino is weighing out, potentially stepping away from the agency, saying within the coming weeks he's going to decide whether or not he stays as the deputy director. You know, I can't imagine Dan being very happy with all of this, obviously going out and attacking Miranda Devine for publishing a report that says he spends so much time on social media and that there's a lot of unprofessional things happening behind the scenes in all of this, and kind of getting a failed report card, both him and Director Patel. And then kind of proving them right by going after, you know, Devine in a tweet as well. So it looks like he might be stepping down. What do you make of this?
Well, I understand Dan's frustrations. I mean, he's kind of been made to look a fool from day one, where the FBI, presumably his underlings, gave him really terrible information about how Epstein couldn't have killed himself because we have the surveillance footage of inside the jail. He goes out and trumpets this. And then, of course, that surveillance footage didn't even show Epstein's cell. So it really proved nothing. And I think he got mad about that. There were rumblings about him threatening to resign at the time. And it seems like he's been totally neutered because we now have a co-deputy director. So I'm sure he's not happy about that. But yeah, he hasn't done himself any favors in attacking members of the media. And I think recently, with this pipe bomb case, he had been saying as a podcaster that it's an inside job. It was, you know, somebody in the government planted it. And then now in his capacity as deputy director, he's saying, no, it was this black autistic guy in Virginia. And, you know, I was just giving my opinion, which, of course, saying it's an inside job isn't an opinion. That's an analysis based off of facts that you know as a journalist. Like, an opinion is, should taxes be higher or lower? It's not, oh, this is an inside job. That's an analysis, which is why people liked him in the first place. So he's really destroyed his credibility, and he says that his plan is to return to the media circuit. And I'll be really curious to see how that goes, to see if he still has the same kind of following, because it seems like he's really burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate because I know he went into this with the best intentions possible. But I think for the FBI, for the deep state operatives, it's actually a very masterful thing to allow to happen because they have somehow burnt his credibility. I mean, coming forward and telling us the Epstein footage was going to be released soon and it was going to be very clear that he did kill himself. And then we noticed that there was a couple of minutes worth of footage clipped out of it. Obviously, that does a lot to damage your reputation, plus so much more. So I can understand his frustrations. And I still, you know, don't want to challenge his credibility as a person, because I know that Dan went in with the best intentions possible. But the reality of it is, I mean, this has been a PR nightmare without very little support on his behalf. And it is hard to kind of sit back and watch. And we've had to sit back and watch for quite some time. And I've been very lenient because of the person that we've known, the podcast we've known for quite some time now. I didn't think that there was a way that he was going to do all of this and kind of allow this to happen. But unfortunately, it has taken place. So I think the best case scenario is for him to step away from this, because it seems like if he does, the evidence is very clear that there's a lot going on internally at the FBI and they are not the ones in control. And that's me being very generous, of course. I want to shift gears a little bit, though, to clip 12, because it looks like that Brown University shooting that took place over the weekend, we're waiting to see more information. We're getting grainy, crappy footage, surveillance footage, and it's not even footage from Brown University. Like, the footage is literally from door ring bells, the ring doorbells. And they want us to think that, oh, this is the footage. Brown University apparently has no cameras anywhere, which is hard to wrap my mind around, especially given the fact that it's Brown University. And then we get these still images where you can't see the person's face. You can't see much on them. And so they want us to help solve this case, but they won't even tell us the basics, even what this person screamed out before opening fire. But it looks like local PD is in a little bit of a feud with the FBI itself. Take a listen to clip 12.
In his tweet that it was a tip from Providence Police that led you all to Hampton Inn. Can you confirm if that's true, and what exactly was the evidence that led you to this person of interest?
Yeah, so it was there was a tip that came in, just like we were taking any other tips, and that one came in specifically identifying a person of interest, which was this individual. And so we, our detectives got on it, just like they got on another, but this specific one, it was actually picked up by the FBI, and they followed through with it. And they ended up coming and locating this individual of interest, and at that point, we did a thorough investigation, ended up drafting some search warrants, came up with some evidence, but that evidence was examined, and we didn't have enough, obviously, to be able to prosecute anybody, and so the person was released. Go ahead, Pat.
All right, to jump into this too, it's important to note that the President of the United States tweeted out that the suspect was apprehended and then all of a sudden reversed that statement. I think it's probably clear that the FBI was the one that alerted them to that. That's just kind of me speculating at this point, because I don't think he's been asked that question as to who told him that the individual was in custody. But it's very, very clear that the local police aren't very happy with the FBI and all of this. What do you make of it?
Yeah, and so I saw that clip yesterday and I retweeted it, where the locals blamed the FBI for detaining the suspect, and it turned out to be the wrong guy. And I got pushback saying, well, this was a tip that was given to the locals and they just passed it to the FBI to run it down. So that's like a legitimate counterpoint. But of course, there's the issue that Kash Patel goes on Twitter and says, hey, we have a suspect detained. And obviously Patel, well, not obviously, but I highly suspect that he was the one that probably told Trump, who tweeted it out. And this is a huge public safety risk, because with the shooter still on the loose and people go back to their normal lives, like, that could have put them in danger. So, you know, it's another clown show reminiscent of the Charlie Kirk assassination case. And it's not going to, you know, inspire much confidence in our public institutions. You know, I guess at this point, maybe we could get Steve Baker on the case to do some gate recognition analysis. No, sorry.
Yeah. Well, Ken, you know, it's kind of crazy to me that this has all been going down for quite some time now, and there's very little individuals stepping up to try to do something about this. We're talking about an attack that happened on Sunday, and we have zero pieces of evidence. And that in itself, to me, is what's really, really disturbing in all of it. And I'm really getting fed up but sitting back and watching as our government, the local PD, the federal agencies are just refusing to do anything. You know, we keep hearing that there are reports that this individual, before opening fire, screamed something out. Local journalists tried their very best to get local PD to even respond and to tell us what was said, literally saying, we played this clip earlier in the show, literally saying that if it's something that we think is going to be beneficial to our investigation, we'll release it. But, you know, Laura Loomer has reported that the individual screamed at Ali Akbar prior to opening fire. Now, again, that's her reporting. But the fact that they're not sharing any of this information to me is really infuriating. It's the reason why so many of us rely on just source leaks, because officials themselves don't want to confirm it. And this is how information could be factually true. And then we just kind of sit back and wait for it to be told to us. I mean, this could essentially, I guess this is where I'm going with all this. It could be something that others would be able to kind of figure out, oh, wait a minute, if he screamed that out, I know who that person is. I've seen that Jack before. And it could add to someone else's suspicion, which leads to the tip, which leads to an arrest. But the fact they won't even tell you what was screamed out by this individual prior to opening fire and killing innocent people in that room is deeply concerning. Ken, we've got about 2 minutes left, or I should say 90 seconds left. What do you make of all of this when local police are just refusing to answer those simple questions?
Well, yeah, the fact this is a liberal college could, you know, Loomer's report could be legit. One of my first jobs was in the Oberlin, Ohio area, and you had this case where a black kid stole from a bakery, and the college kind of pushed the local police to not charge him because they didn't want, you know, backlash against like minorities. Mm-hmm. And this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it just kind of highlighted how liberal schools, you know, for the sake of social justice or to cover up their image, they kind of suppress these politically inconvenient facts. And if that's the case, maybe the FBI just needs to take in charge of the investigation altogether. Although it seems like a case where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't really have much confidence in either institution, to be frank.
Yeah, Ken. I mean, I'm always trying to be optimistic here, but unfortunately, there's not much these days to be optimistic on. But you're doing incredible work, so we're thankful for that, folks. If you haven't done so already, head on over to his X page. Give him a follow. JD_cashless on X. You're first to everything, everything. So I highly recommend our audience do just that. Thanks for joining me, as always, Ken. We appreciate your reporting.
Yep, thank you.
All right, folks. Like I said, give him a follow on X. I'd highly recommend it. It is very, very important for you to do just that because, again, he's first to everything. I mean, literally everything. He reads through the criminal complaints. He gets up the most critical parts of the criminal complaints. So he is a great follow on X. Okay. In the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we have 60% off on some of your favorite supplements, of course. Sea moss gummies, one of your favorites, methylene blue as well, and so much more. Also, the creatine gummies, those are also on sale as well. Those were just recently released. We've got them at a discounted price. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you place your orders by today. Again, this sale ends today. And in case you wanted to save extra money, make sure you become a subscriber as well. You get 50% off every month for life. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh.